commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bott on KCNR 1460. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, and we are streaming on KCNR1460.com. In fact, we've had people call us and tell us they've heard us as they were traveling through the deserts in Arizona.
We also want to thank, we have some other friends that just installed new computers, and they said, we got an email this morning that they were listening while they were working in their shop last night, and that they're enjoying the program, and they listen every day. Thank you to Biggins Lighting.
Yeah, they can hear us. You can you can travel anywhere, but you can't hide from the sounds of Carl and the Bot and Free Fire Radio right here. And speaking of sounds, there's Bad Bob.
And good morning. More water in the lake, let me tell you.
Well, I think it's set up to, I think they're at 93%. And but they said Orville and Trinity, though, are just, they're still in the 50s. How could that be?
Just how the rain falls. And more of the water is being diverted out to the rice fields, but I think they're going to start seeing increased releases. So if you live down by the river, you may want to keep that in mind. If you've been used to that nice low water level all winter long and they start increasing the releases, they're going to have to do it fairly quickly. So be aware of that.
Last Thursday, they released enough so that in 1 hour, the river had gone up a foot. And we were doing the crossing of the Sacramento, which for whatever reason that was. Today we're joined by we're going to have Relay for Life people, and then 8 o'clock is going to be pretty much a free for all, and we get into every subject you can possibly think of and things you want to do. But let me introduce the heart of the group here, Linda Bott.
Well, good morning. Good morning. You know, there are going to be thunderstorms today, according to our forecast. High of a 56. And the thunderstorms are going to be possible after 8 a.m. Tonight, scattered showers, cloudy with a low of around 42. Let's see, a couple things. We are taking your emails, Linda at KCNR1460.com. But you know, as we, it's kind of indicative of what happens in life. As we move along and we are just busy in our everyday lives, we don't realize how many people on the other side of the world, in Iceland, London, Paris, Europe, have been so hugely affected by the volcano, which has erupted underneath an iceberg of all things. And what are you looking at me like that for?
That would be under a glacier. An iceberg would imply it's happening
exactly,
in the ocean.
Exactly, a glacier. Thank you so much, Bob. Because I saw your face look at me like, are you kidding? What, you know, you're right. It's under a glacier. Have you ever been on a glacier?
Yeah,
Iger Sanction.
If you could hear that head shaking up.
I got a chance to do the Iger Sanction, where they filmed the Iger Sanction, by the way. I don't know what it was called in Switzerland, where you actually went up, and I think you were way up at 10, something like that. I know you don't want to drink at the top of it. You know, the train that goes up there, and as soon as you get up, you think, oh, my God, this is beautiful. I know this is a diversion, but you take the train, you go up to the top. It takes quite some time, and then when you get up there, inside the glacier, they have all these ice carvings from Sumitomo Bank, and you're thinking, oh, my gosh, this beautiful glacier has been carved in the inside by, you know, people that are doing title sponsorship up there on top. It was just weird, but they have a restaurant up there, and I just remember having just a small bottle of European wine, but boy, you know, it's just that altitude thing. But coming back, I really want to share with you an email of a girlfriend. Many of you that listened to the show and knew about listened to the Gold Digger Travels, and my girlfriend that flew in from Greece was stuck in that mayhem of airport craziness, and I want to read you an email, kind of give you insight of what's happening to the people who have been detained.
And we will also be discussing ideas about should the city be borrowing more money when we haven't paid off the last loans yet. This is Carl Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl Linda Bott. Phone lines here are 605-4567. So what happens when you get stuck on a plane going to... trying to get back to Greece.
Well, okay, here, I'm just going to share an email from my girlfriend, Robin, the one who lives on the island in Greece, and she was out here for 2 or 3 weeks and heading back. Just a quick update. After the unexpected happening of a volcano in Iceland, and then she says, I think that's just too strange, our plane from LAZ to London was detoured to Paris. Yes, book-worthy stuff. You just can't make this up. And then after 2 days and nights of being pampered by the Paris Marriott, American Airlines said enough. So they bussed us for 8 hours with our little box lunches in our hands to London. In their minds, they got us to where the plane from L.A. was going. Doesn't matter that all those that were going elsewhere are stranded, but that's the adventure. So anyway, she was just saying that, you know, there they are now, I think, wherever they are. They just recently, their daughter lives in London, and they said that she was had a night where the Russian dinner the first night where we were there with an accordion playing ex-conductor of the Ukraine Philharmonic, entertaining at the restaurant. So I'm just saying, you know, there's adventures, and if you've traveled a lot, I'll never forget. And this is not as dramatic, nearly as dramatic as it would be like a volcano in Iceland. I mean, it is strange. I mean, that's just like, what? You know, that's the world turning upside down, you know, kind of thing. But never forget going to Chicago at Christmas time and spending 2 days and actually having people in Denver. All the airports were closed, and it took 2 days to get there. Denver put us up at the Marriott, and you just had to realize, you know, you're not getting there on time. At that time, Chicago Chicago into Madison, Wisconsin, where my brother was doing his residency, was 80 below wind chill factor. People were dying on the freeway.
As they were just walking out to their car.
They were dying, driving, and getting stuck and getting stranded. No, I'm not kidding. So the dying is the adventure. But, Bob, you were going to say something.
Well, it's under stress situations like that that you see what people are made of. And a good sense of humor is probably your best weapon. What a way to meet new people and basically form friendships that'll last a lifetime.
Well, absolutely.
I do not believe that. I do not believe that you'll be sitting in an airport and you meet somebody that's stuck there with you that hasn't bathed in 2 days, and you're both trying to claw your way onto an aircraft, that you're going to make a friend for the rest of your life.
I disagree with you.
Well, you know,
I met some people on the plane.
Are they still your friends?
I have, yeah.
Okay,
actually,
what's their names? What's their phone numbers, and when's the last time you heard from them?
Well, she's passed away.
Oh, okay. Anyway, to make things even worse, it looks like the volcanic cloud has gone back over England again and back into Europe. So when they were trying to start flying, it just doesn't look any better. Okay, you know, they're starting, you know, we've been talking marijuana. We've got, you know, I think we've got a world record in the number of communes that have leaked up in the city of Reading in the past year. I think, you know, 35, 40, who knows how many. And it's going to be one of our subjects, of course, in the future is what about medical marijuana? What about the number of communes? And it will be addressed. That question will be addressed this Friday in the debate between the Shasta County District Attorney and his opponent, Jerry Bonito and Steve Carlton. There will be several questions concerning marijuana. But there have been some polls taken, and you would think, okay, the people in California want to legalize cannabis. But in the United States, most in the United States are still opposing legalizing pot. And, you know, more are starting to believe it should be used for medical reasons. And I have no problem with an adult ingesting something as long as they're an adult and I don't have to pay for it. I mean, now or down the road. If you make stupid life choices and all of a sudden I have to take care of you, then, you know, you can lay down in the street and not make it. Unfortunately, some people make bad life choices have children, and those children should be taken care of and try to have that work. But anyway, but most of the U.S. are opposing legalizing pot, and of course that's going to be a bond measure for here. And here's my question is, if it passes in California and they say, okay, marijuana is legal, what are the feds going to do about this? Holder has gone out and said, hey, we're not going to do anything to oppose state laws on marijuana. But state laws on marijuana were concerning medical marijuana. And, you know, there's other states voting on that, right? You know, they'll be voting on that in November, including South Dakota. So the question is, what if we legalize marijuana here? Do we want to legalize marijuana? And should it be used as a way to help the United States economy? Oh, if we start raising marijuana, we can start taxing it. I mean, you would think that this question coming up is a, is it a lifesaver? Is growing marijuana a lifesaver for a city that needs money? I mean, and I believe in, what's the name of that city that's talking about growing it down in downtown? We've seen some editorials on it. I'm sorry, where?
That would be Dunsmuir. Yeah, the mayor. Now, the mayor is involved in that.
Well, yeah. The one with the tie-dyed shirt. The thing about growing marijuana down in the middle of your town is here you are having, you know, a nice little town. You know, it's got restaurants and shops. Now, do you want tourists to come walking through there? And there you are with, like 150 plants right in the center of the city. And people are using it, and you're just selling it right there.
Okay, there are so many articles that are out right now, but something that I'm sure that many of us maybe do know or don't know, just to shine light on that companies that receive federal contracts are required to prohibit the use of marijuana as a condition of participation under the Drug-Free Workplace Act of 1988. Medical marijuana, it's casting a cloud of confusion over corporate America. And, you know, pot is legal in 14 states as a prescription painkiller, leaving employers struggling to reconcile zero-tolerance drug policies with patients' right to get high. This is according to the money section in the USA Today. Human resources managers are grappling with such questions as whether random drug tests constitute discrimination under the Americans with Disabilities Act, where they are legally allowed to ask job candidates whether they are required to accommodate after hours and off-site use of medical marijuana. We have more on that, but yeah. We've got to take a break.
I'm agreeing.
You are. Okay, well, you're flashing your hand.
Well,
so.
I'm just waving at Bob to do things, you
well,
know?
I'm good. I take orders very well. That's why I'm a good wife of a colonel. Going to take a break. We'll be right back here, KCNR 1460. This is Carla Lynn Nevada. Good morning, Reading. Oh, it's rainy outside. Get on your boots. 46 degrees, currently 7:23 in the morning. If you are kind of rolling over from your left side to your right side, it's 7:23, just so you know. Today's going to be high of a 56 with thunderstorms. It's just one of those days. So weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, our favorite destination getaway. We're talking about, of course, it just seems to be on the mainstream lips, legalizing pot, all the changes in laws. Where do we go from here? What's going on in the workplace? But let's go to the phones first and go to line one. Bob, good morning. You're on KCNR.
Good morning, Carl, Linda, and Bob.
Morning.
Hey, the happy weather person is not doing much for this weather.
Yeah, you know, my weather rock is wet.
What's on your mind, Bob?
The marijuana. What do you think would happen to the population of the state if it got legalized? You think it'd be an influx of people? Possibly capitalizing the country or breaking California off into the sea, or
I don't know. I think that if this had been a few years ago, that it might have. But marijuana laws seem to be loosening up throughout the United States. Up in the Dakotas, they're voting to legalize it for medicinal purposes, which is just another way of just saying we're legalizing pot. There are concerns, and I've talked to people that says if we legalize it here, how many people will it attract, and is it the type of people you want to attract into the state that they're moving here strictly so they can they can buy marijuana, and at what point do they impact on our social fabric and of course the support system?
Yeah, we certainly can't support anymore. That's right.
Well, I don't see anybody doing anything to take people off that system, I don't see any of the candidates. They talk about it, but it's just like anything else. Oh, we're going to shut things down. We're not going to let them. Poisoner's saying that he would, cut illegals out of everything. I think that's a way to start. Whitman, I'm not sure where she is in that. She has said that she is, would shut down the border, but I see other statements she has made in the past. But then again, you can't really believe what the other person says about the other person, because their ads are, you know, like a couple of attack dogs out there.
Okay, I thought you might want to hear this, Bob, and for those who are listening. Jim, hold on. What's happening with the employees? And according to a landmark 2008 Supreme Court ruling in California, the court ruled that, one, drug testing in the state was legal. Two, firing an employee for use of medical marijuana was not tantamount to discrimination. Three, employers are not obligated to accommodate the use of medical marijuana, even outside work. In other words, while the state's medical marijuana laws protect patients from criminal prosecution, it provides no protection on the job. Pot remains classified as an illegal substance under federal law. The California Supreme Court gave carte blanche for employees to discriminate against medical marijuana patients, says the Legal Counsel for American
Safe
Access.
So what it's saying is it's against the law, it's against the federal law, and the Supreme Court has said if you give a drug test, somebody pops positive for marijuana, you can fire them.
That's here in California,
yeah.
But...
That's not, you know, that's the Supreme Court. Is it the California Supreme Court?
Getting a job.
Well, see, that's it. You know, so then it gets down, I think, to an employer.
But now, there's seven states currently. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It leaves, there's a lot of interpretation that's happening right now, but there's seven states that have that allow medical marijuana for their employees protection in place, and in their laws mention only on the job consumption or impairment as grounds for termination.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sure marijuana affects people in different ways, such as alcohol.
Yeah.
And they may be a good employee, it's just since they smoke, they can't have a job anymore.
Well, there's just so many, you know what, there's so many different little cans of worms that are opened up with this one. Hey, Bob, thanks a lot for your phone call.
You're welcome.
You bet. Okay, let's go to line four. Jim, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Carl, Linda.
Morning.
Hey, California, the majority of Californians in their wisdom have voted to legalize medical marijuana in the state. I don't believe they truly know what they've done, which is legalized marijuana in the state of California. My complaint is with the doctors. The doctors, of which Reading is gaining more doctors every week. The doctors are writing prescriptions or
recommendations, yeah.
Excuse me, that young people and old people smoke. Now, isn't that against, and I don't want to hear this about there's no studies that says that smoking marijuana is harmful in any way. It's an illegal drug. There are no studies. You know, the MDA, the clinics refuse to do long-term studies on illegal drugs. So how can doctors write prescriptions for obviously healthy people for such things as back pain, sports injuries, so that they can legally smoke marijuana? That's against their oath, in my opinion.
Well, you know, a lot of them are doing it strictly for the dollars, of course. They can make $8,000 a week doing that. I believe that lady that flies in here from Long Beach. I have heard two more doctors are opening up offices here strictly to write recommendations.
Yes.
I don't know if that's true or not. You know, it's those things you kind of hear, you know, people send you.
It is true. Well, at least one new office is opening in Reading.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, I did hear that the November initiatives are off the ballot.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, we'll have to check with that one. But we are going to have a, we got about 30 seconds left here, Jim. But, you know, we are going to have a, you know, medical marijuana day, you might say, and bring in, you know, somebody owns a commune, somebody says why they need it. And, you know, it'll be a good time to mix it up a little bit there.
Sounds good.
All right. Hey, thanks so much for your
thanks
phone
a
call.
Lot.
Hey, the other things, too, is that, you know, buying a weapon. This thing about with the California on the Supreme Court there, and I've got to go back and read if it's the California Supreme Court, if it's the Supreme Court of the United States, it says that, hey, it's against the law, you can be fired. Now, so there's a lot of questions. So this is Carl Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Clearly News Talk Radio. Join us after these messages. Step on my blue spade shoes. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. It is 7:30. 4. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, finest walk-in humidor in the North State. They have Espresso Joes, which will cook up any type of coffee you want. You name it, they'll fix it. Then you can buy the, you know, pounds of exquisite coffee beans. And it's one-pound bags, not these 12-ounce bags. Joe and Shelley provide great quality and great satisfaction for your money. And they're great Americans, and they support our community. That's Tobacco and Brew, so much more than a tobacco emporium on 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Hey, we have a news update if you are just tuning in this morning. It is 7:35. And residents and staff of the Sierra Oaks Senior Living Facility on Collier Drive in Reading were briefly evacuated this morning due to a fire in its kitchen. The kitchen fire was reported at 7:05 a.m., and arriving firefighters reported seeing light smoke coming from the convalescent home. The fire was contained to a kitchen stove, and residents and staff were being allowed back in around 7:20 a.m. So that's kind of a news alert, all good regarding that, but you just need to know. So we have a very special guest in the house. If you've never been to the Relay for Life, it's a phenomenal experience. It's a place where people come and actually are on the track for 24 hours, and they create teams, and they have barbecues and music, but it's more than just. I mean, it is a community event, and it's something that's actually a spiritual feeling happens when you bring your team together, because you somehow feel that you have touched on the testimonial of somebody who has survived a cancer of some sort. And this morning we want to welcome Wanda Lamb, who is the chairman for the Survivor Committee for the Relay for Life. And good morning. We're so honored to have you here this morning, Wanda.
Thank you very much. It's an honor to be here.
Well, tell us what is going on.
Relay came to Reading approximately 12 years ago. That time I was the North State Region's American Cancer Society president, and there had been a movement to create one major signature fundraising event, and that became Relay for Life. It's held all over the country, the United States, the world, and everybody knows when they hear Relay, it's about honoring those people that have been in our lives who have lost their lives to cancer, and just celebrating with the survivors. I'm a 19-year breast cancer survivor. Never asked why, because I knew God had a mission for me, and that has proven to be very much the truth as time has marched on. Being involved with the American Cancer Society, the Reach to Recovery program, the times I've had to be able to stand up in Sacramento in Washington, D.C. and advocate for breast cancer survivors and people who do not have a voice. When Relay came to Reading, it was a time for our community to come together collectively as one voice, to be able to say we are going to put our time and our energy and our money behind research to try and wipe out this disease that touches so many people. Today, I don't think that you can go anywhere in our little community or town and not find people that haven't been touched or families who have not been touched by cancer in some way. And when the patient hears the words that rivet through them, that same emotional volcano, if you will, goes through every family member and every friend who has to be a part of that diagnosis. One of the things we added last year to Relay for Life is a caregiver lap. So the first lap is all of the survivors and the people that are currently going through their fight. The caregiver lap is about every person that has helped you get to where you are today, whether it be your neighbor next door, a teacher, a friend, parents, family, children, grandchildren, whoever that is, they get to step out on that track with you. And it's very powerful to know that these are the people that surrounded me that I'm here today to be able to say, let's come out and support Relay. Let's do our part to fight this disease. Let's hope that our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren don't have to sit in a doctor's office and hear that they have cancer.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't realize the inroads that have been put into cancer by all this research and what's and all the strides that medicine has made in fighting cancer. And one of the biggest ways of combating and beating cancer is early detection.
Yes.
I believe that, you know, the new types of tests they have now, and they can catch them so early, that it's not, you know, people, when you hear cancer, it's not a death sentence.
It isn't. And what generally paralyzes people from taking that next step to calling their doctor is their fear. And it just stops you in your tracks. It's the only time in my life that that saying, your blood ran cold, I know what that's about today. And I'm very tenacious. I believe in facing things head on. So calling my doctor was the very next step, partnering with my physician. And I try to tell people this. You know your body better than anybody in the world. You need to sit down with them, understand what's going to happen to you. If you don't, ask to back up. Ask why. Why this over that? And really be a part of the road you're going to chart for yourself. Part of that, cancer has a way of sort of paralyzing our abilities to do anything, and somebody else is now in control of your life. By taking that control back, partnering, it helps you to be able to have some say in making decisions about what's going on with you.
Our guest this morning, go ahead. This is what happens. You can tell we live together.
You can tell she finishes everything I start.
Our guest this morning is Wanda Lamb, who is the past president of our North State Relay for Life. Coming back, we're going to go into about the event, how we can be involved as a community, where we sign up, what's entailed. Carl and Linda Bott here, Free Fire Radio, 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Most.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567, and it is 745. It's raining outside, the high today of about 57. That weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, where we like to go out and hang.
Spend special occasions.
Our guest is Wanda Lamb, who is chairman for the Survivor Committee for the Relay for Life. She's also been the past president of the North State American Cancer Society. We've been talking about how a diagnosis of cancer is not a death notice. It's one that says start getting ready for a fight, and that you have to take charge of your body, and you need to get engaged. And Wanda's a perfect example of that. You are a little toughy, aren't you?
Yes.
A beautiful toughy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You are. I mean,
thank
just, you know, it's the first time I've met you. I believe I've met your husband at various events, as long as it has guns and, you know, and cross-country stuff. You
it
know,
does.
There. So, now, the Relay for Life, how can people get involved with this? What exactly is it going to be, you know? Let's jump on that one.
This is the first year we actually have a Relay hotline, and that number is 225-8224. And when you call the Relay hotline, you can either push 1 to get information about the Relay, you can push 2 if you're a survivor and want me to call you back and give you more information, or 3, you can just get information about teams and how to form a team. Relay is made up of teams that consist of 12 or more people. You raise $100 per person on your team. You go out to the Relay, which is at Shasta College on June 12th and 13th. You have a tent site that you can set up. The relay actually begins at 9 o'clock with the invocation. We have a wonderful opening ceremony that happens every year. Then the survivor lap, the caregiver lap, the team lap, and then it's relay. And it is 24 hours of fun, tears, joy, excitement. I try to tell people, make sure that you get teenagers on your teams. Teenagers love to be up late at night, and the rest of us just want to go to sleep, but they keep going. They're out there on that track, and the goal is to have someone from each team on that pavement during that 24-hour period from 9 o'clock Saturday morning till 9 o'clock Sunday morning. During that time, you have games that go on. They have volleyball. They have activities for children. There's all kinds of entertainment. We actually have an entertainment chair that every moment is packed with something fun for everybody. And even if you've never been to Relay, it's fun just to come out and take a look at what's going on within our community. Relay is especially known for the luminary ceremony that happens at nightfall. During the course of the day, people can purchase a luminary bag, which is a small little bag that they can decorate in honor or memory of the person in their family that has had cancer. There's a little candle that's put in the bottom of it, and at dusk, those little candles are lit all around the track. The lights go out, and for the next 45 minutes to an hour, you are just impacted with an emotional entertainment that is hard to describe. And I don't want to say much about it because I want people to come out and experience it. If you never have, it will move you to tears. And it's also just how much this disease has impacted our community. This is our first year to birth a new relay. We have a baby relay in Anderson, and that will be the end of May. But Relay is spreading. We want to continue the growth of Relay. This year we also have added a Relay rally at Solis Cancer Care, which will be April 22nd from 6 to 7. And we hope that people can come out and participate in that as well. It's just a jack you up, kind of get you started, get your blood pumping about Relay.
That's a Thursday then, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, you have a website.
Oh, we do. We do. And it is very convoluted. But it goes like this. www.relayforlife.org. / REDDINGCA.
Okay, you've lost me. So what you need to do is send us a
link.
If you just go Relay for Life.
You can have this.
Why don't you send us a link and we'll put it on our website. So
okay.
So people can go to KCNR 1460, and if you want to take part in the Relay for Life, you know, that is kind of hard when you're driving and people, but that's great.
Essentially what it is relayforlife.org/Redding, California. So, or Redding, you know, CA dot.
Yeah.
So that's pretty simple, and we'll put that up onto our website along with the phone number.
We currently have 90-some teams, and our goal is to have 140 this year. We'd like to be able to see 400 survivors out at the track this year. We also have a reception that honors our survivors that will be held June 3rd, and you can find more information by calling our relay hotline and getting the specifics about times and locations for that. But we want to take the time to honor what's driving Relay for Life, and that's our survivors and the financial gain for research. The rest is the frosting on the cake. It's what makes it so good.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here and come back because we have a few more questions here for Wanda. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines is 605-4567. We're streaming KCNR1460.com. Send Linda an email at linda at KCNR1460.com. The weather rock is wet
and
dripping, and it's going to stay wet for a while.
I think you need to ring the bell because we have angels in the air.
We do.
Yeah.
Our guest is Wanda Lamb, and what a great person it is to meet. What, you know, it's an honor to meet you, Wanda. I mean,
you know,
I like fighters, and you are obviously one. You're chairman for the Survivor Committee for the Relay for Life. We've been talking about the Relay for Life. It's going to be a great event. Again, the date for it?
June 12th, 9 a.m. to June 13th, 9 a.m.
And it's going to be at Shasta College.
Shasta College.
And if you want to get involved with this, you can call
8224 is our relay hotline.
Okay. And the website will be relayforlife.org/ReddingCalifornia with, you know, CA. And we'll have that up on the website. We sent it to our Hobbit webmaster today.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, what kind of, do people really get competitive in this, or is it more of, hey, let's just, we're doing this, we're out here, or, I mean, are some people really, like, running for it?
We have groups that are out there running for 24 hours. Last year, and I apologize for not being able to remember all of the details, but we had a gentleman who walked the full 24 hours, and his feet looked like mincemeat when he was finished. But he was doing it, I believe, for his grandmother. And it was a way to honor her. But people get competitive in many different ways. You can decorate your tent site. They have a contest and a prize for everything.
Oh, okay, so lots of prizes, lots of contests.
Lots of prizes, lots of contests, lots of little, what would you call them, little drawings that you can buy raffle tickets for. Uh-huh. So the different tents have information that you can set up. That you can come and purchase. You can buy tickets to try and win.
You can make donations.
You can make donations are always welcome. And when you're donating to the American Cancer Society, it's always a tax-deductible donation, and I think that that's very important for people to know.
I think that's very important for people to know.
Again, the dates.
June 12th at 9 a.m. it begins, and it runs until June 13th at 9 a.m.
And the, do you ever have to carry people off the field?
Never have.
Never have, huh?
Never have yet. We do have, so survivors are aware of this, we do have a special parking pass for our survivors. So they can park in a special area, and actually they have little golf carts, and they will cart you down to the site. So some of our more senior folk can get their little coolers and what have you down on the track without having to have a heart attack.
And this is at Shasta College this year. It's been at Bishop Quinn for a very long time, but now Shasta College is the new location.
It is. We started Relay at Shasta College, and then we moved to Enterprise 1 year. We went out to Bishop Quinn for several years, and now we're back home at Shasta.
Okay. Wanda Lamb, chairman of the Survivor Committee for the Relay for Life. Thank you so much for being on today.
Thank you
I'm
so much
sure
for
it's going
to
be a very successful event. We're going to be talking about it again before
we get closer to the event.
But
mark your calendars again for the 13th and 14th. 12th and 13th. I do this every time. I'm sorry, for the 12th and 13th. The 14th is about recuperating.
It is.
There you go. You know, our next hour is, it's going to be a wide open hour. We're going to be talking about a new possibility of new restaurants downtown. I mean, one closes, one opens. We're going to talk about the upcoming debate between the Shasta County District Attorney Jerry Benito and his opponent Steve Carlton. That will happen right here Friday from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on KCNR 1460. We'll be down at Tobacco and Brew for that in a remote, so we'll have room for about 80 people there, 75 to 80 people. So you want to show up early, so you can be there. We have a number of questions and topics that will concern everything about why you became a lawyer to different aspects of running the district attorney's office. So we hope to cover just about everything that every question that you can imagine. And you can still send in questions to Carl at KCNR1460.com, but I'm getting ready to send all these off today, so be quick when you do it. I've gotten a number of questions from our audience. Join us after the news. It's Carl Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 AM, clearly News Talk Radio. This is KCNR Shasta Redding. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bott on KCNR 1460 AM. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming at KCNR1460.com. Just go to the website and you can hear us. You'll hear Dennis Miller. You'll hear them all, no matter where you are during the day. And you can write to Linda at KCNR1460.com during the show, and we'll pull up those emails and we'll address those issues.
There's going to be thunderstorms today, actually. That's what the forecast says. Showers and high near 56. If you're looking outside right now, it is rainy, and it's just one of those days. Tonight, scattered showers, cloudy with a low of around 42. Hey, we want to welcome on board a brand new sponsor. Really proud to have them on board. I have been eating there for years. Love the staff there, and we go there all the time, Country Kitchen. And we want to share with you that if you go into Country Kitchen and you have an entree, breakfast or lunch, and you say that you listen to Free Fire Radio because we brought them on board and they are celebrating 17 years serving the North State, you'll get a free cup of coffee or a soda with your entree. So if you go have breakfast, you get free coffee. Lunch, you get a free soda, whatever that is, per person. And I think that's pretty incredible. So that's like savings of like three something or whatever. I don't even know what they're charging for coffee today, but it's really good. So also, speaking of food, we just got word that there's going to be a new pizzeria downtown. And the owners of Tapas and the owners of the Millhouse Deli have come together.
Yeah, it broke today from Mark Beecham, as usual. Mark's on top of everything that goes on.
And it's going to be in the former downtown eatery site. It's going to be a brew house style restaurant. It's going to be called Maxwell's Downtown Eatery, an homage to the iconic downtown eatery in the 70s and 80s. The music's going to be hops and bops.
What's hops and bops?
Well, kind of 50s, 60s, dancey.
Not hip hop.
No.
Dancey
kind of thing. I think they're going to try to do an open night mic too, but this should be really exciting. Let's see if we can find out they're looking for it to open.
Well, you know, Tapas has been, you know, in business now over a year. I think they're, their second year. And, it's a success story here when other restaurants are closing down.
They're
expanding.
Mid-June is when they plan on opening.
Well,
it
should be pretty exciting around here because we have the steakhouse, the Japanese steakhouse opening right next to us on that side. And now we've got the it's more than just a pizza house because they're going to have sandwiches and everything else.
Maxwell's
Brew House is going to open to the right of us. We're just going to have to add, laps around the block here. I'm going to be interested to see how we're going to double stack parking around here because it's already getting a little crowded.
Listen up good, right? We need to really figure out what we're going to do with parking.
But we're start riding unicycles down here.
What are those things called? Where you stand on them and they're called?
Oh, yeah, the Segways.
Are they called Segways?
Yeah,
Segway. I mean, we can come on a Segway from our house.
That's right. You just jump on my back, and we'll just come on down here. Okay, things we've got. Yeah, we've got guests usually. Like we just had with Wanda Lambert. Usually, we'll have a guest come in at 8 o'clock, and we'll have that the rest of the week. Of course, tomorrow, Senator Maurice Johansson talking about an effort he's making out there at IGO that I believe everybody needs to know about because it's going to help. And it's going to be of great assistance to all the veterans' families. And then Thursday we've got Donnie Greenberg coming in, and she's always a hoot to have on, plus numerous other guests. And of course Friday, the great debate, on the radio, over the internet, and in live, in front of people. So, and the only thing else and we're going to probably be recording it for YouTube, for parts of it for YouTube, so we can put the whole enchilada there. But this today, we have with this open line, it's just exactly what it is. If you've got something you want to talk about, or something that's stuck in your craw, something that you want to discuss, this is the time to do it. Just give us a call at 605-4567. We're going to take a quick break there, and then when we come back, it's going to be, I don't care what it is. If it's something you want to talk about, and talking about borrowing money again to do some more building downtown, and we haven't even paid off the last one. If it's about more on the marijuana, if it's about Arizona passing a law that says if I think you look like an illegal, I can pull you over and I can check. What is the legalities on that? And what about the lady that says, I don't care what the law says, you're not going to be able to carry a weapon in the open in this state. I just want to take all that away from you because, you could hurt somebody. Thank you again, San Diego, and your legislators. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Good morning, Reading. Ow. 8:13 in the morning. 47 degrees. It is raining outside. They say there might be thunderstorms. Hey, do you remember a senior prom? Here's what's really cool. The Shasta High School and the Shasta Senior Nutrition Programs and the AARP probably present the really senior prom. I mean, this is really a senior prom for the seniors. So what's really cool about this is the kids are putting this on for the seniors. The music, the dancing, remember the fun you have with your friends. Now is your chance to relive the memory. So dig out your dancing shoes, round up your friends, and come have a ball at the really senior prom. That's Wednesday at the Shasta Senior Nutrition. Love how they're doing this. This is just absolutely Mercy Medical Center, Reading, and the Shasta Senior Nutrition Program. They're all putting this on tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Tickets are only $5, available at the door. For those of you who are looking for something fun to do and go dancing, tomorrow night's really the night to go do the really senior prom. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I drive a 2002 Lexus. And I was an original owner, bought the car, obviously, in 2002, before I ever moved to Reading, from the Lexus dealership in Sacramento. And it's been really one of the best cars I've ever had. I mean, I've had lots of cars, and I drive a lot. So I think I have 130,000 miles on that car. And I love the GPS and all that's in it. Well, Toyota has recalled 10,000 Lexuses, and I'm sure this might be semi-old news, but what blows my mind is that they agreed to record $16.4 million fine for a slow response, and it's broader earlier. So they're also not only are they recalling it, they're going to agree to pay a $16 million fine.
But that was based on the earlier problems they were having with brakes and everything. But this one's a new recall. So and Lexus is supposed, it's one of the top of the Toyota line.
It is. It's addressing the new safety concerns. It's going to recall 9,400 of the 2010 Lexus GX 460. They went on sale in late December. 5,600 that have been sold and 3,800 still at dealers or elsewhere in the distribution pipeline. Now, I don't know. I think what they're going to do is some of the cars, according to this article, that are already at dealers, if they put in a new program that helps for them, I think they're topsy-turvy. But this is the first time in Consumer Reports that that literally Consumer Reports said, do not buy this car. And they've never had something that has been, you know, that pretty bottom line, hardcore, you know, usually it's, well, you know, this is wrong and that's wrong. But I would consider if they replaced the chip or replaced the programming that's in that to be top heavy, I would get one.
Replace the chip? Well, you mean for the braking?
The programming, yeah. That they say it's top heavy. Because my Lexus 2002, now that may sound ignorant because my 2002 has been so great, I would take a chance if they replace the chip and get one of these cars rather than just putting it out to pasture.
No. The thing is that it's Toyota, which has always been the hallmark of the good cars, relatively priced, and all this, and being able to do be trustworthy, and just go on and on and on, has really taken some hits this past 6 months due to the fact of the braking incidents, the fact they didn't talk about it right at the beginning. This is a big, you know, reason for it. Now the Lexuses are being recalled. This is not, you know, this is not a good year for Toyota. However, 2 months ago when they put everything on sale for 0%, they had a great quarter. They sold lots of them, and now, you know, here comes the second round.
Well, yeah. The Toyota dealers said they're going to update the software and the stability. It's the stability control system. That was what I was trying to find in this article. Stability control system, which is supposed to help prevent the rollovers. And they've already halted sales on the new GX, and they've begun tests on all of the company's other SUVs. So this is just like kind of the tip of the iceberg for so many SUVs that, you know, I happen to love my SUV. I like an all-wheel drive, you know, so you can drive in all kinds of weather, obviously, and go over the hills and not have to worry about actually putting it into four-wheel drive. It's constantly, you know, with good traction. But my car has been really well. So I just, that's all. You're looking at me like you just
need to sell that 2002 Lexus, huh? I mean, it's a great car. I like it. I don't ever want to sell that car. The Lexuses today, however, if they're going to fix them, it's one of those things that come back. And Bob's got a message over there. He keeps flashing at us.
I'm sorry. How about just, I'm a Jeep owner. How about just knowing how to drive? Because I can tell you that 90% of these rollovers are people who don't know how to drive, and they insist on taking, you go out on the freeway. These people are taking corners at 70, 80 miles an hour, which no vehicle, and the manufacturers are supposed to design an idiot-proof vehicle, and they get sued when they don't. That just drives me crazy.
What do you do when you have one of those little motorhomes? I mean, I know that there's certain times that you don't drive when the wind is really high, but I saw a guy pulling into a gas station yesterday, and I looked at these little tiny wheels with the motorhome, and I thought, I mean, it looked like he was going to fall over just going over the curb to get into the gas station. And I thought, well, you know, what's the difference between that and an SUV if you are driving reasonably, you know, driving safely? I don't know. Thoughts here. 605-4567. Email me, Linda, at KCNR1460.com. And it's open line this morning. We're going to be talking about a bunch of stuff. I know Carl's pacing here. He's got something on his mind. We're going to come back. We got a lot to talk about this
Carl
morning.
Carl, Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Ron.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. It's 8:24. 605-4567. You know, there's so many things that are going on and so many interesting things, so many, you know, tales of the weird. You know, the latest, of course, you know, again, you know, Mark Beecham, you know, he just finds these strange things that he puts on his blogs, but this is about the Donner Party, and they're saying the Donner Party is cleared of cannibalism because they went into the hearth of where they were at, and they only found cattle and deer bones. Well, I don't believe it. I believe the Donner Party ate parts. And just because you don't find the parts or the bones in the hearth doesn't mean they didn't do it. I mean, perhaps they had a reverence for life, and after the person was dead and they ate that selected part that they then buried them. I mean, it doesn't mean that they're gnawing on their bones. And I just, you know, I've seen other, you know, firsthand accounts from people that were, you know, that were there, that people had talked to them and done a lot of research. And as somebody wrote afterwards, he said, you know, obviously it's not just congressmen that eat their young.
Well, you know, it's really hard not to drive over the Donner Summit and not think about it.
Well, of course you do. I mean, because the thing is that, you know, bad planning got them there, you know, early snowfalls. And from what I understand from the research, and of all things, my roommate in Iraq had this book, and he started obsessing about this, which was kind of scary. But he was talking about how, you know, that the men were the ones that were dying off. You know, the children and the babies were being fed by their mothers, and the mothers were not thriving, but they were surviving. And the fact is, a couple, you know, some people made it down out of the past to get help and brought back some help, and one of those people that came back to help was eventually killed for a food.
Killed?
For food, yeah. Now, this is what, according to this book he was reading, you know, and that's something you have to go back, but just because you find bones in the hearth that were of deer and cattle and horse doesn't necessarily mean that there was no cannibalism there. Not that it makes that big a difference.
There's been cannibalism in other parts of the world where there's been plane crashes and the survival. Yeah.
The soccer team,
that's right. There was a wonderful movie out, actually. But it was a movie about that. And you can just imagine. You know, it's really hard. How do you put yourself in the place of that? You put yourself in the position or the place of what it would be like to have to make that choice to live or to die.
You know, and the thing is that if the person, you know, if the person is dead, it's just the body. And if you believe in souls, the soul has left. And if you don't believe in souls and afterlife and that we're just carbon beings, then it doesn't make any difference to you anyway. But it's a kind of, it's that thought that says, you know, do you survive or don't you? Let's go to the phones here. Dan.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine.
Great. How are you this morning?
We're talking about cannibalism, and you want to talk about the governor's race. Maybe that's the same thing.
Boy, that's a good point. I'm just all this negative campaigning that started with it. I'm, you know, if any of those are true, that either one of them are flinging at each other, it's pretty scary. But I was kind of, Meg Whitman went negative so quick you'd have thought she was a Democrat.
Well, you know, the thing is that you've got both of them claiming the other one, you know, is soft on immigration, you know, raising taxes, you know, Meg Whitman campaigned for Boxer in March 4, I think. You know, I mean, just if you start looking at these, I mean, and so then you start looking at, okay, there's so much animosity here, and how much of this was taken out of context, how much of this is true?
You know, they said that Poisoner weakened Prop 13. Well, maybe he was trying to eliminate the business clause where businesses come under Prop 13 and not homeowners, you know. So that would be the out-of-context thing.
You know, that's the thing, Dan, is that, you know, we had Poisoner on. We're trying to get Meg Whitman on, you know, so people can ask questions. You know, Poisoner, you know, it's like most politicians, they talk a good talk, but we need to have them so that people can ask, okay, what about Proposition 13? How did you weaken it? You know, that, you know, Poisoner said Meg Whitman was in lockstep with Obama on amnesty for illegals. You know, if that's the type of question you ask her, and just say, you know, this is what was said, and they have your, you know, they have you on film or video saying that. Now, was it true or was it taken out of context?
Right. I feel like Poisoner had no choice but to, you know, tit for tat kind of thing, because the way she started almost before he declared. I have a couple other quick points. I heard you had a news break coming up.
Yeah.
One is everybody's been, all the talking heads and everything are talking about how intellectuals are running things nowadays in Washington.
Uh-huh.
My favorite definition of an intellectual is someone who has been educated far beyond their IQ.
There you go.
And my other point is, as far as my faith in how the government's going to run everything they're taking over, I can sum it up in two words: Mustang Ranch.
Oh, okay. That's right. When the government took over that well-known brothel in Nevada, when it went into a court-appointed bankruptcy, they found out that the government couldn't even run a bordello in Nevada or a bar and make cash on it. They had to sell it.
Well, it closed down.
Yeah, it closed down. That's right.
My point exactly.
Well, you know what? You know, then you add on to that, the, you know, the post office and, you know, what's going on with the Social Security and Medicare. You know, now it's going to be health care. I'm just having, you know, I just have one little tremor after another when I see these things.
From my point of view, everything the government does from the local level to the federal level, they do poorly.
Well, you know, it's they don't have to make a profit. Otherwise, right. You know what, they've got
like
continuous...
Reading, their attitude is, we are their customers. And I think that's pervasive through all the government. And that's wrong. They work for us. Yeah. We are not their customers.
Absolutely. Hey, we've got to run. We're on a hard break. Thanks, Dan, so much for your phone call. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. We're into that open line. You've got something you want to talk about, you give us a call. 605-4567. It is 834. It's raining outside. I think the high today is going to be 57.
Yeah, thunderstorms and all that good stuff. Well, there's always brought to you by Ensemble Vineyard. Earlier we were talking about the Toyota recalls. What are you laughing at?
I said, well, now how many people would want to talk about Toyota recalls? Then we got all these emails about it.
We got emails, so we're going to read them on the air, okay, because it's just staggering. It's really staggering is what's been happening in the last year with the car business, period.
Oh, it's how many, if 6,000 dealerships went out of business last year.
And do you know 6,000. How much the new Lexus, you know, they're great cars. I don't know. I guess a lot of people think, oh, well, you know, I guess everybody has a budget, you know, of course. And some people view their automobiles. To me, I look at it like you spend more time in your automobile, as much time in your automobile as you do sometimes sleeping. So you better have...
That's unfortunate.
Especially where you were in L.A. I mean, you were spending 3 hours to get to and from. You could spend easily 4 to 5 hours a day in your car. So the feeling of your car and how it's outfitted for your comfort is important.
Well, if you spend 4 hours in your car around ready, it's because you're locked in somewhere. You know, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there.
Or you're making out around the corner. But according to this one email, it's just... okay. It's just a coincidence that Toyota is getting all this bad press and congressional attention at the same time the government is a major shareholder of General Motors. Government Motors? Question mark.
Well, you know, the thing is you know...
That's a good one.
Yeah, I never wanted to buy GM stock, but it appears that I have, and that when they were paying off, you know, the debts on it, and why was it that the unions got paid 100%, everybody else got 23 cents on the dollar? Anyway...
Next email. I agree with Bob. You cannot design an idiot-proof car with the idiot in out of control. Next, the car companies will be sued for not having text while you drive feature. Toyota has been number one in recalls for the past 3 to 4 years.
Okay.
I didn't know that.
You know, something else has happened that's... you know, the Record Searchlight... The Record Searchlight is... One, I like their new way it's set up. I like their new issues, I guess you could say. It looks
format.
Format. Thank you very much. I have problems with the word format and mayonnaise. But the format for it is, I know I like it. It's more professional. And again, as I go back, is you know even if you disagree, like yesterday the headline, you know three get stabbed in celebration. I mean, what kind of celebration is that? If you go, you get stabbed. I mean, or do you go there to get stabbed? But there's, you know, a couple of things is on the editorial page, it talks about the Boy Scouts. Now, the Boy Scouts have been in existence for 100 years. They are, you know, they have done a lot of good. I mean, you're talking about, you know, planting trees, cleaning up neighborhoods, helping people. The Eagle Scouts, like in just one example, the Eagle Scouts went up to the dog park. And put benches up there for everybody. You know, they don't charge or anything. They're recycling stuff. So, you know, if it's a, you would think that it's good to be a Boy Scout. Well, according to the Democrats in our assembly, it's not. They voted to make sure that we didn't say anything nice about the Boy Scouts on their 100th birthday. And why is that? It's because the Boy Scouts, a private organization, have said they do not want to have homosexuality in the Boy Scouts, and they do not want to have gay pack leaders or gay leaders, and this is what they've, you know, this is their tenets. And because of that, they have been under attack now for decades, for years, about this. They've stuck to their guns. The Supreme Court has said it's a private organization, so guess what? They can do what they want. However, what does this say? That are we so intolerant at our legislature legislation level is that you can't say happy birthday to an organization that does a lot of good, yet you then sponsor a resolution to the Girl Scouts who allows gay members in the Girl Scouts and say, oh, you know what, we will, you know, sponsor a resolution for this, Mr. Democrats, because of the diversity in the organization. And what's, you know, at some point, when is enough? I mean, okay, because, you know, obviously the left, and it's the Democrats up there that are doing it, not the Republicans. The Republicans are the ones that introduced the resolution, have said that, oh, no, the Boy Scouts don't even rate a resolution saying happy birthday. There's something wrong with that. You know, you talk about intolerance on the Boy Scouts level. I'll tell you, that intolerance swings both ways, my friends. And, you know, the fact is that when you see these young men that are in the Boy Scouts doing a lot of good things around the community, doing a lot of work that other people don't do, and as they go up in Eagle Scouts, many of the Eagle Scouts go on to find careers. It takes a lot to become an Eagle Scout. And many of our leaders, I mean, you know, Bill Clinton, Jimmy Carter, many people participated in the Boy Scouts and will. Now, to do something like this, to me, just is, again, you know, where are we going? And then I look at, you know, 40 years ago, you know, there was, you know, Earth Day began, 1970. And also 40 years ago, there was, you know, major civil rights marches, and, you know, people, you know, were marching for equality. And just when you think that, you know, we've elected a president that is black, and then you think, okay, we've made some great strides forward. Then over at Chico State, the president of the student body is walking home, and two thugs following, attacking, stabbing numerous times based on one thing. He was black. Based on that. I mean, it's considered a hate crime because of things they've said. And when you think about that, and you think of intolerance there, and then you think of intolerance for the Boy Scouts. You know, this stuff is, you know, this is wrong. This is wrong at all levels. Unfortunately, what's going to be done? How's it changing? What's changed in 40 years? You know, a lot of things have changed for the good. I'm not saying that it hasn't, but there's still people being hunted down and attacked because of their color, whatever, sex. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly a news talk radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. You know, we talked about that volcano erupting and the amount of greenhouse gases that hit the atmosphere over this past week will far exceed anything any SUV or any car does, I believe, for a decade. And there's nothing you can do about it. It's nature.
Well, the global... But, Go ahead.
But the you know, but the amount of monetary damage, and you think about that. You know, we were talking about earlier how Robin was having problems getting back, you know, to Greece.
My girlfriend, if you're just tuning in, the one who lives in Greece got back, and she didn't get back because she's stuck in London.
Yeah, she's probably still there.
So she's one.
Yeah, but that's just, you know, we look at that and go, well, yeah, wow. But then you think about the massive economic disaster this is causing over in Europe.
Well, it's costing over $200 million a day since the volcanic ash cloud has forced so many cancellations. 80,000 flights in 23 European countries. And the European airline stock fell, obviously, in the wake of the crisis. U.S. airlines, which have probably suffered a revenue hit approaching $250 million so far, have not made a similar request for government aid. But British Airways is saying that this is like after 9/11. I mean, so many things have been grounded. A lot of things that we don't even think of that's coming. Flowers from Kenya, body parts. You know, that are organs that are transported through the airlines are now being dispersed, if you can just drive there and get them. Hearts, lungs, or not lungs, but kidneys.
And they can't make it over here. You know, plus the fact that, you know, they're talking about all these flowers that were in Amsterdam, they're just shredding them, throwing them into the dumpsters. You know, food. And so, you know, it's just...
Kenya.
Yeah, well, that's where they were coming from, but they were throwing them away in Amsterdam. They're throwing them away every place they're going to. Food is rotting there, so that's being destroyed. When this volcano erupted, not did it just throw so much ash and greenhouse gases. It is putting a permanent hit on parts of the economy in Europe. And they're already having problems because Greece is, you know, teetering on whether it's going to completely collapse. And if it collapses, there's going to be a huge problem in the European Union because of the, you know, they're wondering if they should prop up Greece, who made some bad decisions, and, you know, will Greece end up in chaos and civil war? And then you get on top of this, you know, right there at the edge, and then you get hit with the a volcano erupting. And of all places.
And according to the World Tourism Organization, they estimate about 700,000 travelers a day go through Europe. And
not now.
Yeah, and there's about 330 companies involved in air freight.
Yeah,
so
that's just. Well, you know, I think they were somebody flew a plane through the ash, saying it's dissipated enough, and they didn't think it was going to be that dangerous. However, then the ash shifted and went back into England and parts of Europe. So, you know, that ash, that volcanic ash, will just chew up an engine. And I'm not sure I'd be feeling really good about flying through that, if, you know, when you're in the middle of nowhere over the ocean and all of a sudden your plane starts coughing. I'm sure that they will not fly, however, until they're absolutely sure it's safe. For natural disasters like this. I mean, again, you know, they had other, you know, Bob finds one of a flooding in Ireland, and the pub is flooded. But God bless the Irish. There they are, up to their knees in water, and they're still drinking their pints. You know, that's good. We got to take a break. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio here. KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Sheer Blue.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. I'm Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460. Phone lines here are 605-4567, our last segment. You know, tomorrow we have Senator Maurice Johansson. On Thursday we have Donnie Greenberg and others, of course. And then, of course, Friday, the great debate beginning at 7:30 at Tobacco and Brew. Get there probably around 7 o'clock. The show's going to kick off, as usual, at 7. And then we'll have the great debate at 7:30 between Shasta County District Attorney Jerry Benito and his opponent Steve Carlton, and they have launched a few broadsides at each other. It's been an interesting few weeks watching that. So we've got a number of questions and topics ranging from marijuana to the Constitution to the Second Amendment to illegals to how do you change the DA's office and should you? So join us Friday.
And then there's other things like what's happening with the Eagles at Turtle Bay?
What's happening with the Eagles at Turtle Bay? Okay, what is?
I don't know. Give us a call. I don't have the Eagle cam on right now, but I certainly would like to know. I do know that we were out there the other day on tax day, and Eagle flew by, which was really incredible, and then you had a little sparrow.
Yeah, you had the bald eagle, the symbol of our country, flying majestically across, and then there's this little sparrow chasing it, trying to peck at it, and I'm thinking, there it is. It's our country, our majestic bird that is the symbol of our country, and a little bird pecking at it. You can't help but think that is that significant, or is that a symbolism of legislation that's kind of trying to peck down our country.
But you know what's happening May 1st? It's going to be the butterflies. The butterflies are opening again with at Turtle Bay, and then we're going to have a representative from Turtle Bay coming on and talking about some of the upcoming beautiful events that they have. And wow, there's just so much going on that's happening in Redding. Don't you feel that there's a beautiful? I think there is a wonderful growth that's happening. I know we can get caught on the. On he said, she said, and I don't know about this, and, you know, whatever's happening with, our political beliefs and so on and so forth, or your political beliefs, or, you know, we're here for you, and we love taking your emails, and if you've got a topic or something that you really want to shed light on, we'd love to, you know, bring it out there, and let's debate on it. Of course, by the way, we want to remind you about the debate on Friday. We are going to be live at Tobacco and Brew, and we have Steve Carlton and Jerry Benito, and they're going to be debating for 90 minutes. And we invite you to come down there in the morning from 7 to 9. You might want to get there around 7 o'clock, which is when we kick off live on the air. But we're going to actually be with them starting in the debate from 7:30 to 9. We have a myriad of questions, but we're also taking your emails, and we're going to be sending those to both Jerry and Steve, just to kind of not drop any big bombs on them, but, you know, let them get prepared for this wonderful debate that you, our public, has asked for.
Well, there'll be topics and a number of questions. Not all will be asked, but there will be, because there's so many, but there will be, it covers the gamut. And if there's, and if you have a question, a specific question, please send it to us at linda@kcnr1460.com. You know, something yesterday was the 16th, or the anniversary, I should say, of the Oklahoma City bombing on April 19th, 1995. 168 people killed that one day. It injured more than 600 others on an example of homegrown terrorism. Of course, McVeigh was put to death because of this. But it's when you think about it. And then after that, which was a horrible incident, of course. And then Bill Clinton yesterday talking about how he sees parallels between what happened in Oklahoma City and what's going on today. And, of course, he mentions the Tea Party. However, there's been no incidents that I can think of in the Tea Party rallies where there's been any type of violence. And every Tea Party group around here in the North State that I talk to, and I've talked to their leadership and I've talked to members, nobody here is espousing violence on any level. And, if people are irate, but they're going to be taking their anger out at the ballot box. So, but, you know, to remember what happened in Oklahoma City.
And today, I don't know if you got a chance to see it, but the space shuttle Discovery landed safely. And you know what blew my mind about that? You know, it's very interesting to hear some people think that they should stop the, space exploration and spend the dollars that go into that for what's happening in our global economy. But it was very interesting. I grew up with my father was an aeronautical engineer, and my grandfather and all of my uncles very involved with, you know, anything, again, like Northrop and Aerojet and so on and so forth. But that shuttle landing, it was like a big plane with a parachute at the end. And, you know, what happened in the days that they landed in the ocean? I loved it. It was just like a big plane landing.
Well, that was the original space flights, and they had no way of coming back. You know, the space shuttle, of course, is relaunchable, though I think this was the last trip for them.
No, there's three more.
Is it three more? Okay. Three more, and then that's it. And then what happens? You know, Obama said, well, we can go to Mars. Well, okay.
We're taking your emails on that one. We'll talk about that tomorrow.
Maybe we could load up the legislature on that.
do email us again. And
tomorrow our guest is Senator Maurice Johansson. And join us tomorrow at 7 o'clock. This is Carl on the Bot on Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Clearly, News Talk Radio.
This is KCNR, Shasta Redding.